Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Gonna be there in an hour. Coming in my band, shoes and my necktie.
Welcome. Who you got in the play-in games, Bulldog? The under on the Lakers. Sneaky Joe had that yesterday. Before he left, he's like, by the way, bet the under on the Laker game. Very sneaky maneuver by Joe. On his way out the door. He had some stat about how the public was betting over, and, you know, that's why you something. So I just like.
And that worked out. That worked out okay for you?
The best betting I've ever done has to be just other people telling me to do it. Whatever. I mean, just.
Yeah.
I won on UConn under because Evan Abrams from the Action Network had a tweet about how the line was moving toward that. Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just have for years thought. My own guess as to who will win these games. Once in a while, I'll do underdog pick'ems, or I did a same. Why I don't know a same game parlay in baseball the other day. Just I was ended up doing that and did not make any sense. I never win those.
Was it one of those at the top of the page that was just like they made it for you?
And
no, like, oh, that looks good. No,
I've never lowered myself to that.
You built yourself. You built your own.
I think I've never lowered myself to that. Yeah. But yes, I built my own. And lost.
Yeah.
That seems to always happen. But when I get these little tips, okay. Last night I did a hockey parlay and lost. I had Montreal.
Me too.
Well, okay. I mean, you've had more wins than I
that's
have.
That's like almost every night for me.
Montreal, Washington, and then I put tonight's game, like the Islander game on there. Like, oh, well, I can maybe hedge.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come. Patrick Kane ruined that.
That's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yep. We'll talk about the NHL. Paul will join us, locker clean out. The Flyers empty net stuff last night is really interesting. We've got two guests, both on the NFL draft, Davis Maddock and Chris Trapasso, who joins us weekly. I had the morning to myself mostly today. My wife went to her office, kids are in school, and I spent several hours. I spent half of it on the draft.
All right. What did you learn?
I don't even remember. It's my head is spinning. I've officially reached the old paralysis by analysis phase. I think I'm even past that.
Yeah.
Like I read word for word Sigmund Bloom's pre-draft Bloom 100.
I saw that today. I spent some time with that today.
And he's got defensive player. It's a fantasy article.
Yeah.
And that's really more my interest anyway. Like I'm reading for fantasy too. I've got a dozen or so dynasty teams. I'm looking at rosters and draft picks and just like, all right, what are we going to do?
Same here.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And I've never been good at the reading comprehension. I get easily, quickly to a point where I just am numb to it. Here is the question I want to ask you. And I want to ask Davis Maddock this, and maybe it works for Chris Trapasso too. The only reason I say maybe is because I try not to ask him the same things every week. So I don't know if maybe we've already asked Chris Trapasso three times a question like this. To keep it simple, at least at the start, the Bills pick at 28. How many wide receivers, or other players too, how many wide receivers work for you? You want to count the top three guys who will never be there at 28?
No,
I don't think you have to.
No, let's not do that because that's not realistic. I think you should include Brian Thomas Jr. in it just because you know who knows.
I think you should too. There's a chance.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to put him in my even though he has been talked about mostly. You know, because of what we've seen in mock drafts, as a guy you'd have to move at least, you know, maybe as much as 10 or more picks up to get. I've really cooled on him as an idea.
Thomas?
Yeah. I don't know if it was some of what maybe Sigmund had in his piece or someone else. I don't know. I'm just not, this doesn't sound like a great idea to me.
Isn't Mitchell reading worse than Thomas right now?
The thing about Mitchell. Did you see this today? I think this came from Tyler Dunn.
Okay, right.
He's type 1 diabetic, and some of his his behavior could be traced to that. And this is the thing about the draft that is just amazing to me. We're almost a week away from it now. We've talked about this player as much as almost anyone in the draft. And had no idea that this was a thing.
But can't that be because, due respect to Tyler, I was texting with him today as well about some of this. Can't that be because it doesn't have to matter? Like, isn't that maybe already baked in, his health?
Well, if you aren't managing someone with that condition, it can dramatically affect their mood and their behavior and just everything. So I don't know. It's still a risk to me, maybe as much as ever. But I feel like that might explain a team. The Bills could look at that and go like, all right, well, we can handle that. We'll give the guy to make sure he takes his insulin when he should, and we'll keep him on, and fine. We're gonna get this prospect that, you know, the biggest red flag on him is he doesn't try all the time, and he's moody and mercurial or whatever. I don't know, like maybe that can be, I don't want to say controlled, but you can do a better job of staying on top of that, maybe.
I feel like I'm being put into a washing machine with that one. Like the spin, it happens every year. It doesn't always happen as late as this date where you go, the draft just needs to freaking get here.
Right.
Like it just needs to get here because I am going crazy. This is what I mean. I'm going crazy with, but this, but this, but this, but this. I try to, at least to a point, maybe having a talk show gets in the way when we're sort of obligated to talk about these things at length all the time, but keep it kind of simple and lean on the numbers. And that's why I'm not with Mitchell or Thomas, because they both had almost pathetically low yards per route run stats for guys who probably will be picked in the first round. Like, that is super scary to me, that for one reason or another. And I know the points people make all the time, the great other talent on their teams, et cetera. Sneaky Joe was talking about, he retweeted or something, a series of passes that were way off that were intended to him. I feel like I want to assume that always happens. There are always excuses for those guys. And so With there be, this is the question. This is the mm-hmm. point of the question. With there being as many, if you will, candidates for that pick, I don't want to ever, even at 28 and not like 10, I don't want to have to feel like grin and bear it. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they need wide receivers badly. This is a year, everybody agrees, where you have many, 20 or more interesting options, at least first two rounds, if I can spread it out to that. I don't want somebody that I don't love. I'm watching Love is Blind. I know you were big into Love is Blind. I'm watching that show. Yeah. And look, I mean, there's a lot of pressure to say yes, but so, okay, two. I think you're saying you'd include both of those players.
Wait, which two?
Thomas?
No, I don't.
You don't want him if he's on the board of 28.
I don't think I do. I'm a little scared of him.
Okay. 803.
So I would say Mitchell, McConkie, Worthy,
Franklin, PFF Sam today. Franklin.
I know at 28 though. I mean, I don't know. Franklin, Coleman.
Five.
You're gonna circle all the way back to the beginning of this thing, like back to February for me.
That's Franklin for me too.
And I might include Leggett here.
Six.
Although that the 28, there'll be a lot. Oh, a lot. There would be some. I think like, whoa, he's a third round guy. What are you doing picking him at 28? Those are the guys I would say I'm most interested in. And of the names there, and I know this is going to sound weird. Like I've been thinking about the draft a lot today too, and I did a decent amount of reading also on the draft. I don't ask me how much of it I retained. My head is also kind of spinning. I did remember this thing about diabetes, so I'm taking that as a win. I think Xavier Worthy might be my favorite idea.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he doesn't fit exactly what the Bills have said they might be looking for. Like they need a guy they don't have body type wise, I think Bean has said, right? And that means size. But they also have not had that. They have not had elite melt your face off speed on this team really at all. The guys they had that had it, like Hardy, barely got used. And you know, Worthy, I'm going to trust, is a much better prospect as a, you know, all-around football player and receiver than Deonte Hardy. And so that idea, I'm coming around to that idea. Like, I think the just having someone that can scare defenses that much, I think could be really nice for the Bills. So that, I think, you know, it's still a week and a day out, but that's become my number one idea, I think, is Xavier Worthy. So he's definitely on the list.
Was that six? Was he one of the six, or are we adding him? I think he was one of
the
six.
No, he was one of the six. I said Mitchell, McConkie, Worthy, Coleman, Franklin, Leggett.
The thing about Brian Thomas is, Ed Tate, by contrast, Leggett, this doesn't have to matter to anyone, but if the Bills pick Brian Thomas Jr. at 28, they will get
lauded.
They will be lauded. They will get everybody's respect. Mel Kiper will give them an A because it's a simple matter of team need, you know, the consensus on the player's talent, and also what the mock drafts were all kind of saying about the guy. And so Thomas never goes later than that.
Right.
And so the Bills would get all the credit. That's what you want as a GM, isn't it? Number one, all the credit.
I don't know, maybe in the short term, I think you actually want a player that's going to really work out for you. And obviously, if you're picking him, then you think he will. But sure, it's nice to get, you know, credit for doing, you know, whether it's smart or just it falls to you, so you get to be smart. Like, I'm taking this player. His slide ends now. We recognize how good he is. We'll take him. Thank you. We'll take him at 28.
Yeah, you don't get any special credit for that.
No, because it's everybody ahead of you letting the guy go.
That's kind of Zach Benson, I think.
Yeah, sure.
That like the Sabres didn't get any special credit. Well, they also haven't had a good team, but for him, it's just sort of like obvious, right? Adams even admitted that when we talked to him about drafting Benson and sitting at the table. Remember the Sabres all sitting at that table, like nobody was talking? Like they're just sort of pretending to be thinking about it.
Right.
Because they knew.
I think it's pretty obvious who we're going to pick here. Yeah. Yeah, maybe Brian, you know, unless the Bills don't like him for whatever reason. I mean, I don't know what, you know, maybe it's some of the stuff you've been sour on him about or other stuff. And, you know, maybe if teams one after the other that need receivers are passing on a guy that's been thought of as in the middle of the first round and he's sliding, maybe the Bills just get in bed with everybody else and go like, hey, fine, let him keep sliding. We know why he's sliding. We thought the same thing or something else, whatever. We had a concern and that's not, you know, Bills DNA or something.
That's an interesting one. I would not expect that to happen. I'm not sure that's much to say, but you have these fall. It's also because quarterback is so high profile, but who are the fallers, the supposed fallers that you remember? Aaron Rodgers was one. Levis last year, where it's quarterbacks, and maybe there has been a misread in the mock draft community, if you will, on the perception of the player. But that doesn't have to be all of it, because with quarterback, there are only so many teams that would be interested. And even the Bills could have had Will Levis last year as a higher-ranked player than Kincaid, but they didn't need Will Levis, so right. So what? You know, not even necessarily the Bills. But the quarterbacks can really fall because a bunch of teams will not be interested. The receiver, I think especially nowadays where there's just always, exponentially every year, more people in the mix predicting the draft. All the guys who were thought to be more connected and all the work that's in it. It would be shocking. Tunsil is one, but I was about to say it, I just thought of him. You have to have some sort of like a last minute
right.
hang up
right.
where, this guy has an injury we didn't know about or, you know, a bong related.
Bong related offense.
A BRO. Right. A bong related offense. Something like that. Where the world is like, what's going to happen at the draft?
For kids who don't know and don't remember Laramie Tunsil, like the day of the first round of the draft, there was a video that surfaced of him smoking marijuana through a gas mask device, like a contraption. He made a gas mask bong.
Which if you are going to smoke, let's not discuss it.
I would think that's probably pretty effective delivery system.
Well,
yes, I would think so. If that's what you were about to ask. I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound like such an expert.
I'm trying to change the subject, Robin. What else is in the news, Robin? So... A Brian Thomas Jr., if something comes out,
yeah.
then, yeah, all bets are off. Literally, because they would take him off the board.
Right.
But otherwise, like, he's not falling out of the first round because too much information has been shared mm-hmm. by now. Too many teams have, you know, traded information with Peter Schrager and Krugler, whatever. Like
Dane Brugler.
Brugler.
Is who you wanted there.
Well, so, I'm sorry. Dane, that's really bad. But, you know, right? So,
yeah.
I don't think that would happen. I don't know. This was like 5 minutes ago when this point came up.
And yeah. I was only saying if he were to fall that far, I think I would be scared to take him. I would think there's a reason. And I might suspect that if it's, you know, personality or something, like some intangible, something that comes out in an interview, that the Bills would be a team that would have noticed that.
Well, we'll see. To me, that's kind of taking Ken O'Brien or Tony Eason over Marino, right? Like mm-hmm. just sort of, we yeah. know better. But I don't know. It's pretty hypothetical. It's pretty specific.
Yeah.
Peter Schrager, I got his name right. 8 receivers in the first round of his mock draft. The Bills are on Mitchell as wide receiver 5. Then Worthy. No, Worthy might have been 5 to Dallas. And then, yes. And then Mitchell to the Bills at 28, wide receiver 6. And also the last 2 picks of the first round, McConkey to San Francisco and Jalen Polk to Kansas City. You did not name Jalen Polk on your you would be okay with it. The original point a million years ago was Brian Thomas. The Bills would get a lot of credit. They would get A's. Leggett, they would not. Because you're supposed to be able to get Leggett in the second round. Not that anyone knows.
Right.
But you're supposed to be able to, you know, trade down and do that. We all kind of talk like we know that would be possible. So maybe it's kind of six the opposite is a high
of,
number.
Yeah, it's the opposite of Brian Thomas Jr. Like you're going to get a lot, not from all corners, but there would be, I think, yeah, Mel Kiper would go, boy, this is a player I have ranked in the 50s. Yeah, whatever. I don't know where he's got Legette, but I'm just saying. Like that seems to be the consensus, is that he's maybe not a first-round guy. So if you did that at 28, you probably would get the opposite of the credit that you're talking about you getting if you picked Thomas there.
I think that is the consensus. I think there are five receivers who most people think will go in the first round. It's the big three, Thomas and Mitchell. After that, it's 50-50 at best. Even McConkey, Franklin, mm-hmm. of course Polk, of course Legette, and everybody else you can think of. Worthy maybe is the highest, actually, in that group. I think he's probably a little less than 50-50. If I did the thing from the Watkins draft.
Like more of a sure thing to go in the first round than not, you're saying? Or more the opposite?
More people expecting him to not go in the first round. But okay. I don't know if I'm right. I'd have to do the thing I did, or someone would, the Watkins year, and just look up 10 or 50 mock drafts and write it all down, cultivate that data, and then see what it says. I think he is respectable as a first-round pick idea. He ran 4.21. Like, enough said. He ran 4.21.
And what I read, down in the 20s, where if he's going in the first round is probably where he's going, unless somebody just is so romanced by him being the fastest guy in combine history or whatever, that they go up and get him earlier than that. So none of these guys are perfect. Maybe the top three are. And then the other guy's like, oh, well, there's this or there's that or this weakness or that or whatever. But I feel like Worthy, I feel part of the reason I'm sort of getting into him and feel like that would be my choice is that I very rarely see him just dismissed as, well, be careful, don't just get seduced by the speed. That there's a decently well-rounded player there with maybe still more room for growth. Like his route running is decent, his hands, he will do other things besides just stretch the field, but he will be an elite field stretcher for you. And I think the Bills could really benefit from that, not just from the times you get the ball in his hands, which, of course, that's optimal, but he should clear out a lot of stuff if he's that dangerous. Think about how we feel when the Bills got to play Tyreek Hill. The Bills have just not had a guy like that. I mean, there's not very many. Brandon Bean even said, like, fine, go find me Tyreek Hill. Well, here he is. And he might just be sitting there. All you got to do is write his name on a card.
That's if that. You might not even have to write it anymore. Nobody writes it anymore.
Just tell them.
Say it. Yeah. Talk to the card. There's got to be a chip in the card.
Just type it in somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, just talk. Speak it into your
wrist.
The NFL
draft uses Snapchat to communicate.
No. Well,
no, that's probably not right.
Hockey probably does.
No, Snapchat's too current.
For hockey?
They use MySpace.
Yeah, maybe that's right. All right, well, here we go on the receivers. It's a week and a day. We also want to talk more about the Sabres. Reading Paul from Locker Cleanout, yesterday it was Kevin Adams. Today it sounds like it might be Tage Thompson going in on accountability stuff with his teammates. Pretty strong. We'll talk to Paul later, and I know we know, they're making a coaching change here. There's a certain former Sabres coach that a lot of fans are sort of wondering, will he come back? That, of course, is Ted Sater. And we're, having those conversations. Hopefully he's still, is Ted Sater still with us? I hope he's still with us for my making that crack.
I'd have to Google.
There are, I think, at least three former Sabres coaches who did come back. Bowman did. He was in the front office and he went back behind the bench.
Okay.
Nolan.
Right.
Did. And I think there's another one. I don't know. I had this yesterday because I was going to make a line about Granato.
Did Punch,
being fourth,
did,
unless
did,
he comes back.
Did Punch ever get back behind there after like Floyd Smith and Joe Crozier?
No.
Like, I don't think that happened.
No. We'll figure that out next right away. So that's not, we don't want that to linger.
Mm.
I especially don't because it's my potential gaffe. 803-0550 for your calls. Sabres, the draft, and more. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.